Right.
Yes, we're ready to go.
All right. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
All right, we have a quorum, so we will call the meeting to order at 9:01. Want to welcome our new member from Cat City, Rita Lamb. Well, thank you for coming. Thank you for being on public safety. So this is my first time chairing a meeting outside of a tribal meeting. So bear with me on. I'll be chatty.
How's it gonna go without that camera?
Listen, it'll be me trying not to be as chatty as I usually am. But so let's go ahead and call the meeting to order. So we'll start with roll call.
City of Blythe, City of Cathedral City,
Here.
City of Coachella,
Present.
City of Desert Hot Springs,
Present.
City of Indian Wells, City of Indio, City of La Quinta,
Present.
City of Palm Desert,
Here.
City of Palm Springs,
Here.
City of Rancho Mirage,
Here.
County of Riverside,
Here.
Torres Martinez Desert Cahuilla Indians.
Here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
All right. Thank you. Let us all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Do we have any agenda modifications?
Chair, we do.
All right. The conflict of interest disclosure.
There's nothing, no action needed unless a member has a conflict.
Anybody got a conflict? Speak now, forever hold your peace. All right. Public comments on agenda items. We do have one public comment. It was a written comment. We're just logging it.
From Hope Chrisman with the CPUC, and we've also invited Hope to a future meeting. She was unable to make it today.
All right. Chair committee member, do we have any CVAG staff comments?
Yes, just a couple. Good morning, committee members. Thanks for being here this morning. And thank you to both Palm Springs PD and Blythe PD for helping us pull off today. And today's presentations. I did want to just remind everybody some meeting logistics. There are microphones in the ceiling. They're very sensitive, so just be mindful of that, including any whispers in the gallery. And there's also cameras, which should be zoomed in this time, but just note that the camera does move around as well. And I also wanted to note your attendance record. We did make an error on 7A, the City of Cathedral City was here for the last meeting, in fact, chaired the meeting, so we will fix that for future attendance records. And that's all I have.
All right. Do we have any committee member comments? All right. No comments. Then we're good. Ex officio updates. Listen, you guys are good. We're breezing through this.
This would be the time if any other police departments besides the ones that are presenting want to provide any updates.
Because there's a crew of you out there. Any updates? Listen up. We're good. Listen, we're good today. All right, the consent calendar. Need a motion to approve?
So move, LaKeith.
All right, motion by LaKeitha, second by Coachella. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. With the exception, I have to abstain from A.
All right, so abstain from A. All right, motion carries. Items held over from, so we have number 6A, the drone deployments by local law enforcement presentation.
Yes, thank you, Chair. This is going to be a kind of a two-part presentation for the members today. When we were thinking about the use of drones, as many of your departments and many of our departments are seeing, we've thought of two linear, long linear projects that are using drones. So we will start with the City of Blythe, who drove in this morning. Thank you very much to talk about their drone usage. Community Service Officer Kelly will come up, and then after. Kelly Thomas, excuse me, will come up. And then after that, we will turn it over to Palm Springs PD and our own Jonathan Hoy to talk about what we're doing with CB Link. So with that, I will turn it over.
Thank you, board and chair. Appreciate you humoring us and allowing us to present this to you this morning. My name is Kelly Thomas. I'm a community service officer for the Blythe Police Department. I'm also the drone coordinator for our program. I'm attended here also with Sergeant Jacobson, Robert Jacobson. We're two of the seven drone pilots that we have on staff with Blythe Police Department. All seven of us are FAA Part 107 compliant, licensed with the FAA for about 4 years now. We've had that number. We're trying to increase numbers as well. As part of this drone program, we've used it in various facets of our law enforcement. We continue to see the great benefit from it, and no doubt our Palm Springs counterparts will be able to show you just how effective it is in the Coachella Valley as well. Here in Blythe Police Department, we have a variety of drones. This is our kind of our mothership, our biggest drone. This is one of those that has a large flight time. It has dual batteries. It allows us to do surveillance, search and rescue. This is our DJI MT-30. All of our drones are DJI brand drones. It's just we've chosen that brand, and it's worked out very well for us as well. Our other drone that we use is the Matrice 4T. This is one of the newest ones. These drones have multiple cameras on them, both video, infrared cameras, zoom cameras. This one is small enough to fold up and put into a box and actually be taken by officers in their units. The previous drone is a little big. That's the one I usually I carry because I have more room in my response unit. But these can be deployed from the field by a patrol officer if they're the FAA pilot. And this is our smallest drone. This is one that we've used numerous times. This is the DJI Avata. This is a small interior drone. If you notice, this drone has propeller protectors. This allows us to go in close quarters. We go in for into residences and search residences. We can get close to vehicles. Yeah, so it's not to put an officer in harm's way to see maybe it's a hostage situation or to see if there's individuals in the vehicle and what they're doing at that time. With those drones, we've been able to use in various aspects. One of them, because we do have a large unincorporated area in Blythe along the river, we have search and rescue operations that we go through. This is some footage of us using our MRAP vehicle in four-wheel drive situations. And in doing this, what we received a call, that a 911 call to a sister agency, and all they could tell them was a rough area where they were at. They gave us a ping, and we started searching for them. We launched immediately two drones. This is one of the footages of that, directing the MRAP to them. We were requesting secondary pings, but the phone was dead now. So now we were just going off of our search. Fortunately, we were able to find this person before the sun went down, and got them to safety. They had no idea where they were at. So that was a nice turnaround. We were able to help them. We also use it in our crime scene documentation. Since we're such a small agency, it helps to have overhead shots. We can get proximity of one scene to the other if it involves more than one scene, and then also some close-up shots identifying maybe possible things involved in the crime scene. Also, we use it in our marine enforcement along the river. We do have, along with RSO, boats that patrol the riverbanks, but with drones, we found out that we can get into certain areas a lot easier than the boats. We can get there sooner. And then also, we can give them real-time estimates on boat pressure, recreational vehicle pressure, and then also people on the river. We've also been able to identify groups of people. Are we talking about older groups of families? Well, they're probably not going to be as much trouble, but if we have younger groups and they're getting a little rowdy, we can tell, well, this is where we need to maybe increase extra patrol. And we've been able to help marine enforcement in doing that, sometimes getting to the scene a little quicker than they do because they have to navigate the river going up. We also use it in our search warrant service, both our larger drones and our smaller one. This enables us to get a bird's eye view of the residents that maybe they were going to be searching. This particular residence, an example of this was, we thought there was a clandestine lab there. We had some foul orders coming from the house. We suspected through the activity that they were moving illegal drugs through this. And so before serving the search warrant, we of course were enabling us to to see the proximity of everything around, even the residences. And if you look at this, the one slide to the my left, we're able to tell officers if there is a foot pursuit, there's a canine in the yard next to them. You see that canine in that backyard, just to give them an idea that they're not jumping the fence or chasing someone into some place where they're going to also possibly be injured. And the picture on the right was taken from our interior Avada drone. We actually took the drone inside and searched the residence, enabling the officers to stay outside to make sure that we didn't have those chemicals there. We didn't put our officers in harm's way. That was actually a picture I took as we came out, figuring, well, that's what the suspect sees as we're serving the search warrant outside. We also use it for our large event support, along with the Riverside County Sheriff that oversees our high school graduation. That's the picture on the left. Making sure the parking lot's clear, making sure if we have any issues, we have the ability to look at a large crowd and see where the problem is and direct officers on foot to those areas. And then also our annual 4th of July celebration. Not only do we get nice little pictures of the 4th of July, but in one instance, we, because of wildfire danger, we were able to see, we did have a wildfire that was set off by illegal aerial fireworks. We worked with our fire department to figure out where their fire breaks were at, where the fire was going, how fast it was going, and then they could disperse their resources to the right area and make sure everyone was safe. Because this, of course, happened in the middle of the night near the river's edge. So safety was a priority there. Then also we have our traffic collision documentation. This, in this situation here, we actually had a Greyhound bus where the driver had a problem with the passenger. He parked, he thought he put the bus in park and got up to go argue with the passenger, and the bus continued to roll. And as we come around, we're able to see, you know, just his entrance into the parking lot, the pressure of other cars. We see AMR right here. We're transporting some of the injured from the collision. But in this instance, this bus drove right smack dab into a dumpster enclosure. And one of the things that law enforcement will recognize, well, if he just crashed into a dumpster enclosure, was anyone in the dumpster enclosure, either sleeping or working at the time? Well, the drone was able to get a bird's eye view over it because we couldn't start that that bus and move it out of there. We actually had to have a tow truck come in and pull it out. So, but we were able to fly a drone in there in close proximity and see we didn't have anybody crushed or needing any medical aid in that situation. So it deemed very valuable in that regard. Now, all of our drone flights are recorded through our air data program. This is an example of how we can, through transparency and showing anyone our flight patterns, our elevations, even the pilot that was flying at the time, specific to when they landed, when they took off, where they were flying, the purpose of their flight. And this is part of what we use in documenting and reporting to the FAA for our compliance, for our waivers that we use each month. So again, we can completely show anyone that's requested it, what we were doing and what we did at that time. And then also we're using our drones to kind of promote our city as well. We are deemed the first sunrise in California. And this, of course, is our new California sign. So we've taken drone video and footage, given it to council, allowing them to then use that to promote the city. This is what we have. And if you've not yet get to see, this is our brand new California sign coming into the state. It is really nice here, but at night it actually is lit up and looks rather welcoming. It's a nice little addition to there. As I mentioned, we've been using this for the last 4 years, and we have a lot of attention, officers wanting to get this license and use it. They see the value behind it. And no doubt, as you see the other agencies, this is the way of the future. We're using these to a full advantage, and it's for officer safety and an advantage of being able to take care of things quicker than maybe even the officers on the ground. Now, I didn't clarify, that completes my presentation. Do I ask for questions or?
Yeah, we can go over questions. Anybody have any questions for City of Bly? If not, we'll move to
a couple of quick questions.
Yeah.
Flight time and how long does it take to recharge those batteries?
It's dependent upon the drone. The first drone that I showed you is the M30. That's got two batteries. The flight time on that, depending on conditions, usually about 40 minutes. And it's a quick swap because it's got two batteries. We can bring it in, land it without having to power down the drone. We can pull a battery, put a new one in, and then do the same for the other one and have it up off the ground again within just probably less than a minute. The smaller drones, usually it's about 30 minutes to 45 minutes, just depending on if they're in flight or if they're just hovering. And then the charging times, roughly an hour to get them back in, but that's why we have multiple batteries with each of the drones. They usually carry four or five batteries to allow us to stay up well over an hour if needed, even on the patrol vehicle.
Okay. Can you speak to any policies that you have to protect privacy and just other concerns that folks might have about the use of drones?
Yes, when we started this program, our chief of police worked hand in hand with Chula Vista, which is one of those agencies that really pioneered this near the border. And we've developed a policy and procedure for us, making sure that the public is knows that we're flying these only for specific reasons. We're not peeking into people's houses and residences. If we're going over residences, like the one I showed you that was in conjunction with a search warrant, and it was specifically outlined that we were able to use it for that search warrant. And again, with the transparency of our air data program, they can always know where we were at and what we were doing and why we were there and even the elevations and such. So we haven't really had any issues with our public questioning that because we kind of looked at all that prior. So our policy mirrored Chula Vista because they already dealt with all those things and ironed it out for us.
Any other questions?
So with your policies, I would assume since it's law enforcement using them, that you're still abiding by the Fourth Amendment search and seizure rights.
Oh, most definitely, yeah.
So that is going to be foremost whenever you're searching any area. You have to have some kind of reasonable suspicion, probable cause to be going in that area.
Yeah, or exigent circumstances, like in the situation where if we're looking for someone that has called 911 and we don't know exactly where they're at. If it wasn't like, as opposed to that picture in public land, it was actually in a residential area or something like that. Yeah. But of course, if we're going to use it involved in a search, of course, it's in conjunction with the search warrant. And it's protecting those rights. As a public entity, we want to make sure that we're not violating anybody else's rights and we're not getting our agency in trouble either.
All right, if no other questions, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Very informative.
Thank you.
I know what drones I want now.
Yeah, just a quick comment. We use drones at mosquito abatement too. We have payloads and they carry, so in some of these hard to spray areas, we use those drones. They become very, very.
I know we use drones on tribal land to see illegal dumping and stuff. So they've been, yeah, they're helpful to us. All right, next up we have Jonathan Hoy. Then we will go into the city of Palm Springs.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jonathan Hoy, Director of Transportation here at CVAG. I wanted to introduce this item before I hand it over to Lieutenant Hutchinson from Palm Springs. As you all are sure familiar with, CV Link is about over 40 miles of pathway throughout all of our agencies here throughout the valley. And we celebrated ribbon cuttings in November. Just some pictures to go through where CV Link is. In some places, it's along a storm channel, somewhat isolated. In other places, it's in rear neighborhoods or some on-street sections, like the one you see here in Palm Desert. This is out of Quinta, Indio, Chela. So this has been up and running since November. We're still doing some punch list items on there to get things cleaned up, but we have an operations and maintenance plan already underway. We're sweeping it, doing routine wet maintenance. We've partnered with Desert Recreation District to go do biweekly service. They're out there monitoring it. But we've also been working with our public safety partners. And what we've been considering, go through this is essentially our maintenance routine, but I want to get to our slide that introduces our enforcement. So when we what we've already seen out there are some illegal vehicles, gas powered vehicles on the path, some encampments, some graffiti, things like that that we're monitoring. But for public safety and for response, we were considering how we're going to respond to any kind of law enforcement issues out there. And over 40 miles of a pathway, we first considered putting in fixed cameras. And when we mapped out what that would look like with overlapping views and making sure the whole path was covered, your hundreds of cameras that are fixed and all have expensive leases on them. So what we've considered is because Palm Springs has a program using drones already, was to initiate a pilot program. We purchased drones, CVAG did, and since Palm Springs already has units available, they're going through this pilot program with their existing equipment and drones. But then we provided a drone to Cathedral City and a drone to City of Indio, and they're getting theirs running at different stages now. As you can see with this pilot program, we look at our major portions of CV Link. If we were putting drones in there that could respond to events, and they have much more flexibility, much more efficient to respond. And so we'd like to test this out through the pilot program. And we're giving this presentation here. And then we'll come back after the pilot program to see how effective it was. And we'll have some data that we've developed in the meantime. So with that, I'd like to introduce Lieutenant Hutchinson from Palm Springs. And he has a presentation here, and I believe a demonstration. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you for having us. Well, thank you to Blythe for going over all the tough questions. I'm sure that would come related to policy and et cetera. And Chula Vista is really a great showcase of what agencies should be doing appropriately with policy, transparency, et cetera. And like those agencies, we too push all of our drone flights to a public portal so everybody can actually see those in real after the flight has been done. But we give date, time, the reason for the flight, and then they actually get to see where the drone flew to. And then on the back end, as Blythe mentioned, if there's any questions about privacy or concern, we can fly that drone in real time back in a video and actually see where the gimbal was facing, what they were looking at, if there's any type of questions or concerns. So Palm Springs received a $4.5 million grant from the Bureau of State and Community Corrections in 2023. And with that, we developed a real-time intelligence center and a drone as first responder program. So we currently have a number of docs that between our city and the city of Cathedral City. They're called they're a DJI Doc 3 with a 4TD drone. These are, as you can see, I've labeled where those are in the city of Palm Springs and city of Cathedral City. And these are stationed very much like where fire departments are, right? Response times. The idea of getting a drone on scene means we want to be on scene in less than a minute. If we can do that based off drone placement, we're reducing our response times, we're increasing apprehension rates, we're saving lives because seconds and minutes matter in those moments. Palm Springs is currently operating four of these. We're flying multiple missions. CV Link approached us and talked, well, what would be an innovative idea, an innovative approach to helping secure the CV Link, provide some type of safety and response. We're getting, you know, people on ATVs, motorcycles, you know, name it. We're different issues, and how can you respond to that since it's out of our patrol coverage area? Let me back that up. And so we thought, well, we're already operating a drone program. We have these stationed throughout our city, and we can get on scene relatively quickly. So this seems like a far more effective, cost-efficient way of doing business. Can we try that and see what's happening? So we've been launching multiple close patrols on the CV Link. We've seen multiple individuals, you know, riding ATVs and motorcycles, et cetera, on the CV Link. We responded just last week to an individual who broke their hip. They didn't know exactly where they were. We were able to fly the drone over scene and quickly get eyes on and direct EMS personnel to that individual on the link relatively quickly. So again, all of these things are very efficient, effective. We know how to allocate resources appropriately, the number of resources. We flew, you know, multiple missions where two different agencies are responding to the same incident. They don't know about it, but the drone and real-time crime center do know about it. So we're able to cancel other agencies. So again, number of efficiencies related to this. I do have a video if we could show. Wait, this is just one video that we wanted to show on the CV link. We had some individuals that stole a golf cart in one of the neighborhoods, and just how easy it is to get eyes on. Blythe again has already shown you how easy it is to see from the air what's going on. Could you, on the bottom right there, just expand the video so we can see it? Right there. There you go. So these individuals stole this golf cart from a neighborhood. They drove it out, started messing with it in the middle of the desert. Drones got eyes on it right away. It's a four-wheel drive one, apparently.
Yeah.
They were able to, as you can see, travel through the desert. Then they find the CV link so they can easily, you know, think that they're going to get away, not knowing that there's a drone watching them. If you could do me a favor, just push forward a little bit on the timeline there so that we can speed that up. There you go. Just click in the middle of the timeline anywhere. There you go. So there they are, easily cruising down the CV link with no issues. But again, these drones, right, we can follow them. The distance does matter because at some point you run out of distance, or you run out of battery and it's got to go back. So the idea of placing these drones and docking stations at multiple locations throughout the cities where you need the coverage is really important and really critical. And so, you know, that's something that we're looking at. If this drone operator has to go back, we want to be able to coordinate with the other dock and launch that and get eyes on before this one has to return to recharge. These individuals ultimately ended up in a residence in took this golf cart into the back of a location. We just direct officers there and took them into custody and recovered the golf cart. All right, so that you can shut that down. But again, you've got this bird's eye view that you can watch these people from, you know, miles away. All of these drones have tremendous zoom capabilities. You could literally stay in one location and follow them for miles. I think we had a pursuit in our city that started in Indio, a homicide suspect, and we were able to follow that homicide suspect, watch a lot of things occur with those individuals. We at one point lost them. Our license plate readers picked them back up. We were at, if you know our city, Sunrise and Vista Chino, and we watched that pursuit go all the way into DHS down to Dillon and then go north and direct units from there without having to move it. So again, tremendous zoom capabilities without actually having to stay on top of it. I heard some questions about battery life. These things can charge a full battery in about 20 minutes, get back up to full charge. So rather quickly, and then we're back up in the air. We do find that again, with the efficiency and the effectiveness and the life-saving efforts on this, you know, the link is hard. People don't necessarily know where they're at. Now, when you call 911, we're able to pinpoint you easily if you're in need. And again, the quicker that we can get eyes on, you might need water, you might need a tourniquet, you might need something delivered to you quickly. And we have all those capabilities to get tools to people to save their life and then direct all the resources appropriately. That's all I really have at this point for this part of the presentation. This is the inside of our real-time intelligence center in Palm Springs, where we've got multiple drone operators working. We have other operators that are listening to multiple agencies, 911 calls that are coming in from multiple different dispatch centers. And then we're dispatching the resources based off of those calls that we see coming in and that we hear coming in live in real time. I'm going to show you right now live what it looks like to fly one of our drones and how easy it is, no matter where I'm at in the world, to launch one of those drones and fly that if we need to be. So we don't necessarily always need to be on site. We can fly them from home if we have. We had a critical missing as an example last night, and we were able to log on, fly multiple drones to look for this individual who was ultimately located. So again, very effective, very efficient. Over there?
Yeah, you want to take it out?
Yes, thank you.
Listen, while you're setting that up, was it intentional to have the RoboCop font on your little logo?
AI did that.
That looks awfully familiar.
I also want to just take a minute to note that Palm Springs PD has invited us to have your next meeting here at their real-time operations center. So your May meeting will be at the real-time operations center And it will be include a little bit more detail about what they're doing and coordinating with various police departments. And then there'll be an opportunity to tour for anyone who hasn't seen one of their public tours yet. So I know the city's doing quite a few public tours as well.
And so what is the, you have them housed? Are they in a room? Are they exterior? How do they like not get damaged with like the environment?
Yeah, so they are designed. So the docks that we have are actually rated for 124 degrees, including the drones. They sit in a docking station that's got HVAC, and they sit on top of rooftops throughout the city. And wind, snow, rain, all the snow we get here. So, but all of those factors, they're absolutely designed and built as that kind of a workforce for.
You have backup generation in case power goes out.
Yeah, we have backup generation and redundancy both for internet and power on all of them. Yeah, using satellite, LTE, and direct.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, Lieutenant Hutchinson, these things aren't flying all the time. In other words, they're only in response to an event. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. We are only responding. Our policy right now is the whole purpose. So we don't do just regular random. Right. We make sure that we are flying as call based. So we hear a call go out, we're launching to that call. That's important. And the types of calls are important to us too, right? So generally we're looking at priority one, priority two calls that are, you know, traffic accidents and in progress assaults, you name it, pursuits, officer safety incidents, et cetera.
And then how do you ensure that you have enough operators at any given, if it's sort of an on-call basis? How do you make sure you have the personnel to fly the things? Say all seven needed to go up at the same time.
Well, that staffing is always a challenge. So we have about 27 pilots that are all FAA certified that we can call at any one point. Last night, we had no drone pilots on. So the three of us that actually flew, they just followed us at home. We logged on system at home and flew application. No, ultimately, we'd like to have round-the-clock coverage and have personnel both in our dispatch center and sergeants and everybody that can get to that asset. But, you know, to have just full-time pilots right now, just being small is really challenging. So it's kind of auxiliary duty for multiple people. We are staffing our drone center with currently four full-time people. Allocated the dispatcher to one spot, one of our crime scene techs to another, a sergeant to another, and then our crime analysts. So those are the people that work crime, and then we're hiring a civilian man to oversee that. So we'll have five, and then we're doing a regional approach. So we're working with other local cities that want to partner with us as well. We're finding that a regional approach in one center is really, really effective, really cost efficient at many, many levels. As an example, Cathedral City didn't have personnel on. We were flying missions all night, you know, with the team of three or four that we had. So there are a lot of ways to look at this to see how this can be efficient and effective for everybody. But having all eyes and ears in one room to communicate these things really, really is critical. Got it.
Cool.
If we want to do that, a quick demo, it's certainly up to the chair, but if we want to do the quick demo and then we can bring the lieutenant back to the podium, might be easier for the audio as
well. Let's do the demo.
Not to interrupt any train of thought there.
Let me bring it over. Sorry, I'll be back there just a moment. Screen is a little small for me.
So this is what you would see at home in Global.
Correct. So this is our drone dock opening. This is on top of a business in the south end of Palm Springs. I'm also monitoring our radar on another screen that you don't see.
But the drone is just now launching and it's initiating. Now I can start flying our drone. This is in the south end of Palm Springs. Now I'm over the top of business anywhere here. Give me one second. I want to look at a car that's moving. I want to look at a license plate on a location. See the clarity of this, lack of latency. I can get there and read the side of that business quite easily. Inside of that car, get all the details I want off of it, get a license plate. I can snap images of that. I record all of our flights. I want to turn this drone to look at the mountainside over here in case there's a hiker at one of these locations. Top of town, I guess. We can look and see that, you know, you can get the zoom's pretty amazing, right? Might not get complete total clarity. I have to get closer, but at least I can tell if there's somebody up there, there's, you know, something moving around. I can switch to infrared. So this gives off heat sources. This helps us track, you know, hot vehicles, people moving in the desert, et cetera. It is not x-ray vision. I can't see through your house. I can't see through the windows. All right, but this will detect any heat sources. And we have multiple layers of infrared capabilities, thermal capabilities on all of these. So it helps us detect if was that vehicle just moving? Is that person in the middle of the desert?
See the people walking.
See cars moving there. There's different layers of this infrared as well. Oh, I can change what that looks like depending on the need at the time. If it's pitch black environment, I might want to use the thermal capabilities like this, et cetera. But I can get anywhere in the city, well, in the south end, again, response areas. I can get anywhere I need to be in under a minute, which is really, really important. And if I can't get there in time with the drone, then I can get there in time with the zoom capability. Just like that. Okay, I'm gonna bring this one back. It's a simple command. Now, a couple of things I can do with these drones. I can point and click to where I want it to go. I have an address that it flies autonomously when it's there. It's really important for us as part of our response that we are flying with a gimbal up at the horizon for privacy reasons, unless we're looking for somebody who's actively moving. So if it's somebody that's actively moving through a neighborhood, somebody that's actively fled a scene, then our gimbal is going to be down, you know, potentially the flying over houses, looking at the backyards, looking in on the streets, especially if people are saying, hey, there's somebody running through my yard and they're jumping our wall, et cetera. If it's on the city streets, then we're looking through city streets. But it's really important to us that we, you know, we capture all of that. We record all of those flights in case anybody wants to ask. We certainly can present that to them in real time to show them that, you know, we weren't sitting there watching you in your birthday suit in your backyard. Which I think is very important. There's a lot of transparency and a lot of auditing and a lot of capabilities for us to be transparent.
When you're done, you want to return to the podium.
Yes.
We can
guess. Shut down the controls. We don't need the controls. All right, well, it's going back to the point. I do want to know that City of Blythe arrived under 6A during the meeting.
Great.
Got a question for Rancho.
The FAA cert, what kind of time and money does that require? You know.
Right. So here's the interesting thing. The FAA Part 107 training is, listen, some people are really smart and and can do it in a week and go take a test, right? That's about 100 questions and pass that. FAA has not, what they haven't done is they haven't developed any standard curriculum for training, safety, maintenance. So it's really incumbent upon your own agency and your own city to do that.
There are recommendations by the manufacturers. There are many recommendations in a lot of classes that are taught currently. So we've built a really robust training program internally, as well as a safety program and a maintenance program. Very important if, you know, these things fall out of the sky, something happens to them, they crash, and you don't have the, you know, the proper tools in place. We are putting parachutes on our drones as well in case they do fall or they do crash and detect some type of anomaly that they will easily glide somewhere to safety. Cities do have to consider adding additional insurance to the drones that are actually in the air. So we, our risk management added that feature that we realized we didn't have. Risk managers can be contacted and simply tell you what that is. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't remember the name of it. And then really build those programs out. So in case there is a crash, in case there is an incident, that you're working closely with the FAA to report that. Now, we hold several waivers through the FAA as well. They're called Certificate of Waiver or Certificate of Authorization, and they allow us to fly from a desktop, beyond visual line of sight, from a computer like that. And you have to have all of that in place. And in Palm Springs, we're a little unique because of the Class D airspace with the airport right in the middle of our city. So we had to go out and purchase. We have the world's largest municipal radar for drones in the city of Palm Springs. That's not required for every city. Most cities are allowed to fly with FAA waivers without a radar system, as long as they have an ADS-B in the program they're flying, and the FAA will approve those programs. The reason I say that is because that's less of a cost to the cities to have to encumber a large radar system to fly in. But there are different ways to fly safely and to fly responsibly, but you do have to work closely with the FAA and your partners to make sure that they feel safe with your program before they'll approve it.
And has this coverage been used in the successful prosecution, maybe this is for the DA's office, on a crime? So is it admissible and there's no issue with...
Yes.
Because it's a key piece of evidence, right? Like on the golf cart guys.
It is. And the district attorney office will always look at the type of call, why we were there, what was our reason for there. Let's say if we were in a backyard looking for somebody, did we have a legal right to be in that area in the airspace, right? Well, let's say you have, there are certain restrictions where we absolutely do have to get a warrant. Flying over and using thermal as an example, if we suspected you of, you know, I don't know, a marijuana grow that was illegal in a shed or something in the backyard, right? It will require a search warrant for that type of use. Yes,
Rod, I can say that.
Yeah, my concern is not if you're violating a right, but that you guys get it as a tort.
100%. I would love to have, like, okay. When I was trying cases, we didn't have drones,
right?
But we have people who have used them. And that's footage that's actual. It can be authenticated. It's right. Phenomenal for prosecution.
I think that's
so
a key piece
it.
Of evidence
yeah,
for you.
We love it.
Thank you.
Sure.
Well, what about inaction? You know, the criminals get pretty smart these days. You have to fly on a separate.
We fly on a secure network. We fly on a secure network with our drones. Absolutely. And that's like... That's way above my head, but yes, our IT people do it. Now, can people hack drones? I'm sure they can. I mean, I haven't heard of a law enforcement drone being hacked yet, but I'm sure somebody is going to try and it might be coming. So that is a good question.
When there's a will, there's a way.
Good question. The gentleman from Blythe mentioned that post mission or whatever you want to call it, data is available. The public can log on and see. What are you guys doing the same?
We are. So we actually use the same program that's called Air Data. That's where all of our maintenance logs, any questions are, FAA, time of the flight, length of the flight, your pilots, all your certifications, all your waivers, all of that stored in one location. What we're doing is, in addition to that, is we actually have a public facing portal. So you can go to our drone page, click on it and see the flights. And what we provide there to the public is date, time, the reason for the flight and a case number, and that's our policy, and that's how we work, and so that's presented publicly.
So never the video. Like I couldn't go.
We do not present the video.
Gotcha. Okay.
No, we do not.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Cool.
So all of these different technological advances for me, I'm always a little bit worried about it. But we've been working very closely with our police department to make sure that things are very secure, that we're really thinking things through. But I did want to mention that one of the things that's been impressive is ability to de-escalate situations. So last year we had, I think, 12, 13-year-old kid, the BB gun. And so there was a call that a kid had a gun. And because of the drone use, they were able to fly the drone over, see that it was a BB gun, and then just send officers there to say, hey, you can't just be out here with a BB gun. But that prevented our officers from going with their guns drawn
Yeah.
on a child, right? So it just completely de-escalated. We didn't traumatize that kid. We just had a good conversation with him to make sure that he understood that he can't just be in the park with a BB gun.
Yes.
So that was, for me, really great opportunity to use these things in a way that can make law enforcement safer for everybody and not just catching the bad guys.
Right. Yeah, and absolutely. I mean, and we think about that. We don't know how much that paid off. But, you know, it's kind of some of it's not really tangible, but it is at some point, right? To Ms. Garner's point is we didn't have to point rifles and armor at these kids and potentially end up in an officer-involved shooting. We went up and just went and patted them on and say, hey, guys, this really wasn't a smart idea, right? And so it's truly, truly effective way to patrol and use these tools to really give the officers the better situational awareness so they can make better decisions and really good decisions when they're approaching these scenarios. We fly multiple missions for our engineering team, our city team. I mean, it's not just a police tool. We fly for the fire department. We fly we've been able to bid on some incidents where the media had asked for a link, and we actually shared the link with the media so they could actually see what was going on. So, you know, we believed in being a little transparent and being able to work with as many partners as possible. If that's an important link that the media needs, the community needs to see. Now, we're not going to do that in all scenarios, obviously, but we've certainly done that on a few, and it's been very beneficial for us.
All right. Thank you so
Okay, thank you
much.
very much.
Sure. If I could, Lieutenant Hutchinson and Palm Springs have been working on this for a few years now, but we provided the new drones from CVAG to New York City and Indio just in December. So they're just getting up and running. But I'd like to give an opportunity to both agencies to just give you an update on how that's going. I know Chief Sanchez and Commander Diaz from Cathedral City are here. One of you'd like to.
Good morning. My name is Andrew Diaz. I'm a patrol commander for the city of Cathedral City, and I'm the person that supervises our drone program. We have three of these docks in our city, the third being installed about 3 weeks ago, provided by Mr. Boy. One of the huge advantages that that particular one has is that it can make it out to the CV Link area, and especially at nighttime when it's super dark out there. Well, the thermal capabilities of it allow us to see people in the dark, obviously, and help out people that, you know, they need our help or look for people that are, we have a problem with ATVs and such going out to the golf courses and causing damage. Well, we're out there trying to look for them when we get the calls about them as well. But as far as officer safety goes, it's a huge game changer. It allows us to get a perspective on an area before officers arrive on scene and find suspects hiding on rooftops. We've had them hiding on rooftops where they would not be visible from the ground. And our officers are looking for them on the ground, doing yard-to-yard searches, can't find them. Well, the drone found them hiding on the roof, laying down. So that's just one small example of the capabilities of this technology. And going forward, we're going to keep testing this particular drone to make sure that it's operational and can cover the area CV Link that goes through our city. The other two drones that we have in our city in the center part of town and the south end of town cover the rest of the CV Link, but this one covers the north end over by the area that we joined with Palm Springs. So it's working out well so far.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. And then from the City of Indio, Chief Foley's here and Lieutenant Shannon, would you like to say?
Good morning. Chris Shannon, Admin Lieutenant with Indio. In late September, early October, Director Hoy reached out to the Indio Police Department, told us about this pilot drone program. I've been working with Director Hoy. We're finishing up some of our contractual obligations. Hopefully, get in front of our council in early March and hopefully have it up and running by the conference. And what we're doing is we're looking at putting the drone in more of a central location. We know from our own response to calls with our quality of life team and our community outreach unit, We seem to be having issues between Monroe and Galt Center on CV Link. So we're going to place the drone at our city yards. It's in a secure location. And that's going to give us coverage from west of Monroe to east of Galt Center along CV Link. Seems to be our more problematic areas right now. And we're very much looking forward to getting this program up and going. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Staff will be sure to bring back updates as we wrap up the pilot and any other steps. As Tom had mentioned to committees at the very beginning of when we were launching CV Link, CV Link's been a transportation project, but as we move into this next phase of having it open and enjoyed by many of us, this is, you know, the time when other committees will be weighing in on various things as well. So we'll continue to keep you updated on operations.
Question on the CV Link. The one in Coachella doesn't have proper signage, so people don't know what that gate goes to.
Gate
goes to? To get access to the CV Link, the one on Avenue 52, it's just a gate. There's no like signage what's there. And people don't park. They're supposed to park, and they park in that neighborhood. I received comments about the Ponderosa neighborhood was complaining that people are parking where they're not supposed to park. There's parking at the CV Link to access the entrance.
The area you're talking about is on Avenue 52.
Yeah.
The gates you see are actually a secure site for CVWD, the water district. So there's some fine tuning of those gates right now. CV Link did not build any parking lots, per se. So they'll find available parking around or ride their vehicle to CV Link to access. But the gates are for, the path is open. You can get on to CV Link. It's just the gate is for a separate access to water district facility.
So people should not park through those gates.
You should not park through the gates.
Okay. So there should be signage that says authorized vehicles parking only or something in there.
We'll take a look at the signing. Thank you.
Just so that the neighborhood knows that, you know, if you're going to access it, you park. Because when we went to the grand opening, we parked there. So I assumed it was going to be a parking lot where you could park my car, drop off my bike, and then get on the CV Link. So at least that way there's signage, and that way people know and they don't get towed by CVWD's, like, calls a tow truck. And
thank you. We will put signage. Maker.
Just, you don't need someone to complain about their car. So
thank you for the feedback.
All right. Thank you. Next up, we have 6B, the 911.
Yes. Ask Councilmember Garner to put on her county hat for this one. You all may remember that you've asked us to keep an eye on outages and the advocacy to better improve 911 systems here in the Coachella Valley. There has been a few presentations to this committee. They included here some of the latest news from the state, which is essentially pivoting from all the stuff they had told you about previously and restarting. Quite a bit on Google if you're want to see some of the controversy around that. That's got some pushback. We will have a more robust update at a future meeting, but I did want to provide an update for Grace too, for the county side.
Thank you. So not a lot has changed in terms of the county. The county is still making sure that there's reduced copper wire theft, that they're in coordination with the state on this. But the big thing that's changed is what was presented in your packet, this next gen transition plan. A couple things I wanted to point out. So initially the plan was to go from do a regional approach, and now it's a statewide approach, which is something that other states are doing and they're following. The problem is that this has already been in, they've already been working towards this regional approach for, gosh, 10 years. And now all of a sudden they're moving towards the statewide approach. Any expenses from the regional approach are going to be redirected to fund this statewide. But then at the very last line, it says any additional resources that are needed for funding are going to follow the normal state budget process. If you've been following the state budget process the last couple of years, that's not encouraging. So if this is going to cost a lot more money, we can probably expect further slowdowns. It does seem like this new plan, they seem more enthusiastic about it. But again, it's just a lot of concerns about how quickly this will actually move forward. So it's really up to us as a region to make sure that we're taking care of the situation. I think the drones could also be helpful in this and making sure that we're catching anybody that is damaging any of the lines. But yeah, not great news. But I do know that the public comment you received too from Hope Christman is in terms of the California Public Utilities Commission and how they're kind of responding to this issue too. I do hope that she comes back, because after reading her email last week, I tried to log on to the CPUC website to gather the information, and it is incredibly complicated and very, very difficult to actually find anything on that website. So I think that bringing the folks back from the state and from CPUC will be really helpful to just dig in more on the questions that we need answered.
Okay, thank you for that update. Any questions? If not, any public comments on non-agenda items? All right, announcements. Upcoming meeting, we heard we're going to be going to the RoboCop headquarters at the to go over and see the command center. And we have our executive meeting on the 23rd at 4.
Oh, it's actually 4, yes.
All right, and if there's nothing else, then we are adjourned at 9:57. Listen.